thinking. No. However they're intending to come, it will involve marching. You can count on that much. Weir hesitated.
You're certain that what you read from Alaris is correct?
I am. Caden said the words calmly, though Weir could tell they made his friend sick. The Serarium is in the Minoth Mountains, and Alaris was intending to take the shortest possible route there. If you send your men to Talmiel, as they are expecting you to do, then we will lose.
The Minoth Mountains are a long journey from here, observed Siner.
I'll make a gate.
Not if you don't want to be delayed, at best.
It was Terris this time, looking gloomy.
The toll's mechanisms will detect it as soon as you start trying to make a portal, and the Council are on edge like never before. And they don't particularly trust you. There will be things that they're willing to allow, but opening a portal past their defenses won't be one of them.
Nobody said anything, and then Weir brightened.
What about the Sanctuary?
He addressed the question mostly to Siner.
I was able to protect the Shadow's children from the draining effect of the conduit, but I could not do so for many more.
Siner paused, looking thoughtful.
But I may be able to get a large group past it into the catacombs if we open the gate there.
Caden nodded.
Then that's what we'll do. Weir, if you tell the Council that you're leaving via the Sanctuary, then they won't try and stop you. They'll probably throw in some gifted just to get all those soldiers out of the toll.
He smiled humorlessly at that.
Don't tell them about me or the gate, of course. Ilseth was the only agent of the Venerate that I knew of 2 years ago, but that doesn't mean that others haven't been turned in the meantime.
He turned back to Siner.
Now, tell me about the Shateth.
Siner related their experience with the creatures, Caden listening intently as one detail or another was supplied by Weir and Terris.
You're right. We need to kill them, he said. And then I need to speak with this other augur, Ishel.
He shook his head.
I have never heard of anyone having direct communication with the Hive, but there may be a way to use it against the Venerate.
I can show you the way to the Shateth, Terris offered.
Caden shook his head.
I already know my way around those levels.
There was a touch of shame to those words, though Weir didn't know why.
You need to get people together and go. Now.
Only those who can fight, amended Siner quickly. I knew it will not be pleasant for those left behind, but civilians will slow us down.
I'll see to it, Weir said heavily.
The people wouldn't be well treated here, but once the majority of the soldiers and administrators left, there would at least be less reason to accuse them of draining supplies.
Good.
Caden stood. As soon as everyone is gathered, I'll meet you down there and gate you north.
Weir hesitated, catching the meaning. You're not coming with us?
Caden's expression was hard to read as he paused.
If I'm being honest, Weir, the force that you will be bringing to this fight is simply not enough, he said eventually. This is exactly why the Venerate made Asha their offer. If they destroy the Serarium, her being in the tributary is pointless. We need her out here, he concluded. We need her strength, both to retrieve Lycanius and to defend against the Gilshar.
Weir swallowed.
Assuming that she is all right...
Caden had told them about Diara.
And that this vessel you've been given actually works, added Terris, with what Weir considered to be reasonable concern in his voice.
Caden hadn't gone into detail about the Lith except to explain that they were helping. They had delivered him the vessel that would set Asha free not long before he had opened the gate to the toll, apparently.
She is, and it will.
Caden gave a confident nod.
But I thought you said that someone would need to take her place in the tributary, protested Siner.
Caden waved away the comment.
Let me worry about that.
He headed for the door.
Wait.
Siner leaped to his feet, holding out his hand.
It will help if you can reach us quickly once you're done.
Caden vacillated, then dug into a pocket and proffered a smooth, black stone. Weir squinted.
It appeared to have the symbol of the Tenets carved into it. Siner took it with obvious relief, tucking it away. Caden made to go again and then lingered at the door, glancing back at Weir.
"For what it's worth, I am sorry," he said, "for the man I was, for dragging you and Dav and Asha into this, for all of it."
Weir met his gaze squarely.
"I know," he said quietly.
Caden inclined his head slightly in acknowledgement. Then he was gone. Weir lingered next to Siner by the raised entrance to the sanctuary, their shadows cast in sharp relief against the stone, watching pensively as hundreds of men and women filed past and congregated far below at the entrance to the catacombs. He shielded his gaze from the massive pillar of essence that pushed blindingly into the center of the space. The conduit, Siner called it. The means by which energy flowed from Tol Athian's serarium to power everything within the Tol, which included, of course, its defenses. Siner glanced across at Weir.
"It is not normally this bright," he admitted softly. Even he sounded vaguely awed. "The amount of essence that must be being pulled through."
He trailed off, shaking his head at the thought. Weir couldn't blame him. The conduit burned like the sun itself, impossible to look at, intimidating everyone in the vast cavern by its mere presence.
"How is your shielding?" Weir asked, somewhat nervously.
It was for good reason that this was the first time he'd been down here.
"No issues." Siner was clearly focused on what he was doing, though his voice was calm. "I wouldn't want to protect this many people for days on end, but getting everyone through should be fine."
Weir nodded absently, noting the unhappy expressions of some of the gifted, his mind straying to his most recent negotiation with the Council. It had all gone smoothly until he'd announced that he needed some of the gifted to go too. After that, it had been confrontational, to say the least. He hadn't needed to use his oath stone, but it had come awfully close. Nashrell had vehemently argued that the Tol needed their own people to stay behind, to maintain the defenses and to look after the civilians. And for a long time, the Council as a whole had fiercely rejected the idea of those who did go being under Weir's command. In the end, though, whether through his negotiation skills or the ever-looming threat of his oath stone, Weir had won the argument. The only concession he'd made was that none of the Council were forced to come. That was a loss, to be sure, as they were among the most powerful gifted in the Tol. But given that Weir now had 300 gifted under his command, he didn't mind so much. He gnawed his lip, mind straying to Deldry. He'd visited his sister, of course. She was thankfully showing no sign of being affected by the Elatai spear, but she still hadn't woken up. She would, the gifted healers assured him that she was healthy, all things considered. But not for a while. Hours yet, possibly, given the severity of her injury. He sighed to himself. The makeshift hospital had been filled with casualties far worse off than Del. He hoped that when she woke, she would be able to focus on how fortunate she was to have survived, rather than on her loss. He shook his head slightly, resuming his observation of the proceedings. They continued for almost a half hour as people made their way along the cavern floor, into the catacombs, and through the gate that Caden had opened for them earlier. The gifted would no doubt question where that gate had come from, but by the time they got their answers, they would be safely north and unable to tattle to the Council. And though Caden had disappeared as soon as the gate was finished, Siner and Aaron would destroy it from the other side once everyone was through. There would be no immediate way back here for anyone. Finally, the last of the group was trickling through the sanctuary's entrance and down to where the shadows had lived for so long. Weir kept one eye on Siner, who had begun to look less comfortable over the past few minutes, small beads of sweat forming on his brow.
"Ready?"
he asked, as the flow of people from the Tol stopped. Siner gave a tight nod and they moved down the stairs, Weir ushering everyone toward the relative safety of the catacombs where the effects of the conduit would not reach. It was slow, but finally the crowd in the sanctuary itself began to thin. Weir eyed Siner, giving him an encouraging smile. The hum of the conduit wavered, changing in intensity for the first time since they had arrived. Both men frowned as one, shielding their eyes and squinting in the direction of the blinding light. The hum seemed higher pitched now, but less steady, too.
"Is that normal?" asked Weir nervously.
"No, no, it—"
The light flickered. It was so quick, just an instant, that Weir wasn't sure he believed it had happened to begin with, as if he'd blinked and not realized. It was only Siner's rapidly paling face that told him otherwise. Some of the few remaining people, soldiers and administrators mostly, tarried, turning, clearly having noticed the change as well. Siner scowled at them.
"Get moving! Now!" he snarled, his voice like a crack of a whip.
Nobody argued.
"What is it?"
asked Weir apprehensively as another flicker, this one longer, noticeably so, dropped the entire cavern into utter darkness for a full second before essence pulsed back to life in the conduit. It was dimmer this time, Weir realized, sickening dread stealing over him.
"Is the serrarium running out?"
"No," Siner swallowed. This is something else."
The hum suddenly wavered again, intensifying sharply, pressing against Weir until it became almost a physical force. He covered his ears, face contorting, until just as abruptly, the sound vanished. A reverberating thrum sounded around the cavern. This wasn't like the constant hum of the conduit. This was a wave, and as it struck the conduit, the light flickered out again. 2 seconds this time. Siner staggered backward, eyes wide as he stared around him, though what exactly he was looking at Weir had no idea.
"Siner, what's happening?"
"We need to get out of here," replied Siner grimly.
"Why?"
"We just do." Siner gripped Weir by the arm. "I'll explain soon, but sire, we need to go. Now!"
The light in the cavern blinked out. Weir stared blankly into the darkness, too shocked to react until suddenly a small ball of essence appeared in Siner's hand.
"I don't understand how, but the toll..."
He shook his head dazedly.
"It's been cut off from the serrarium. It is no longer getting any essence."
Weir felt the blood drain from his face and had to steady himself against the stone wall.
"But the defenses are already down."
Weir's heart lurched. Deldry, Ishell. Caden was still there, but
"you cannot make a difference up there." "You can down here,"
Siner said sternly, gripping Weir's arm, clearly reading his expression.
"Time to be responsible, Prince Torin."
He held Weir's gaze. Weir closed his eyes.
"Nashrel, find Caden. He will either be with the Chateth or with Ishell,"
he said softly into the darkness, his hand closed around the Oathstone.
"Get him to help you defend or evacuate or whatever else can be done."
Siner watched, giving a sharp nod once Weir was finished.
"It's all you can do for them now."
Weir stared out into the gloom toward the silent, lifeless cylinder. Then he turned and reluctantly followed the black-scarred augur into the darkness of the catacombs. Chapter 32 Caden hurried through the toll, moving almost absently through the network of tunnels. His conversation with Weir, all things considered, had gone remarkably well. As well as he'd dared hope, in fact. He had half expected his friend to demand that he turn himself into the council or the assembly once he'd learned of Caden's past. It had still been a hard truth to learn, Caden could tell that much. But Weir had grown, even from the man he had known a year ago. He wondered again whether he should have told him everything. It had made sense to avoid mentioning certain things, though, such as that he needed to make certain that all the augurs died in order to close the rift in Dylanus, or that he had killed Davian. Part of him had wanted to admit it all, but the other part of him, the more practical part, knew that doing so was to no one's benefit right now. At best, it would have put Weir in the position of feeling as though he had to choose between working with Caden and the lives of his friends. He dismissed the needling sense of guilt from his mind, focusing on where he was going. Third level. He knew the way, had been to deeper places than this in the toll before. A distant, strange whining sound touched his ears as he descended. Likely something to do with the defenses. The farther down he went into the bowels of the toll, the closer he got to the mechanisms that protected it. He touched his pocket as he walked, absently checking once again that the near-circular bands of metal were still safely tucked away there. Dual torques, crudely made on first inspection, though the fine webs of con layered between the metal were anything but. Caden hadn't had anywhere near enough time to evaluate them, but the binding he'd felt take hold as soon as they had been handed over to him was security enough. They would work. Their delivery had been both surprising and brief, taking place on the beach above the wells not long after Caden's encounter with Alaris. Caden had felt the gate materialize behind him, and for a desperate, clear moment he'd been certain that one of the other Benaret had somehow found him. Instead, the siphon-bound form of one of the Lith had stepped through. The exchange had been one-sided and succinct. The dully burning man had thrust the torques into Caden's hands, told him how they worked, and brusquely reminded Caden of the terms of his agreement with Garrodus before striding away again. Caden had been left staring dazedly after him as the gate vanished from view again, barely a minute after it had first opened. He still wasn't sure whether Garrodus's absence and the stranger's haste had been from concern that Caden would try something, an attack, some form of betrayal, or simply an indication of just how much every single one of the Lith despised him. He was still reflecting on the encounter when he came within sight of the chamber Weir had described to him. He stuttered to a surprised halt. A young woman was slumped at the entrance, head in her hands, fists clenched in apparent frustration. A long, unsheathed blade, far too large for her, lay on the ground next to her. Caden approached cautiously, but saw quickly enough that she was not going to be a threat. She looked tired, disoriented. "Who are you?" he asked, crouching beside her. The young woman looked up, registering his presence for the first time. She flinched away from his outstretched hand.
"You,"
she whispered, looking haunted.
"Have you come to kill me?"
Caden looked at her, baffled. He had never seen this young woman before, as far as he remembered.
"No."
The girl remained visibly uncomfortable, her eyes searching the empty space behind Caden as if hoping to find someone else accompanying him.
"Oh."
She didn't sound convinced.
"My name is Caden. I'm here to help." "Ishel."
Ishel shook her head violently, as if suddenly remembering something.
"Fates. Oh, Fates."
She scrambled to her feet. "Can you get in there? I can't touch Khan right now. Too dizzy." Caden frowned. Ishel was the other augur Weir had mentioned, the one affected by the Elatai.
"I can," he said slowly, suddenly suspicious.
He cocked his head to the side.
"Why?"
He had to raise his voice a little. The strange whining sound was louder here, pressing against his ears.
"You need to get in there and stop them. The Chateth. They're supposed to do something."
She trailed off and clenched her hands so tightly that her knuckles turned white.
"The attack. They've been waiting for it. But I couldn't see exactly..."
Caden's heart dropped, and for the first time he focused on the whining all around them. Really focused on it.
"Do you know what that sound is?"
he asked as he began rapidly working on unlocking the defenses of the door, one eye in a shell.
"No. It's getting louder, though." "Why are you here by yourself?"
"I tried to warn the Fates' cursed elders, but they were too busy with other things,"
Ishel said bitterly.
"They know I've been having trouble. Mentally. They didn't believe me."
The defensive wards came down, and Caden hesitated.
"Stay here," he said abruptly.
"I'm going to come with—"
"I don't trust you."
Caden said the words coldly and calmly. Ishel might be trying to help, but if she was being influenced by the Elatai, then she might equally be here to trigger whatever attack was being planned. If you end up in the same room as the Chateth without my permission, I will kill you. Echelle bared her teeth angrily, but she didn't move.
Fine. Fate's fine. Just stop them.
Caden gave a brief nod, moving into the chamber beyond without further discussion. He wasn't able to kill Echelle now that Ash's vessel had been delivered to him. His deal with the Lith made him incapable of trying, but she didn't need to know that. He shivered as he entered, immediately recognizing the two Chateth shackled to the wall.
"Talgamar,"
rasped Sicariel, its deformed face leering at Caden as recognition sprang into its eyes, too. It shifted awkwardly, manacles clinking against the stone wall.
"What an honor! It has been so long since we saw you here in Tolathian,"
chuckled Dionydius in agreement. The differences between the Chateth were slight, remnants from their original hosts, height and eyes mostly, with vague hints of the face's original shape visible beneath the drooping, puffed-up white skin. Still, Caden knew them. He had been forced to spend time with them extensively when he had unshackled them from the Gifted. He looked around, confused. The whining sound was louder in here, but he couldn't pinpoint the source.
"You had us guide you through this section last time, too, did you not?" continued Sicariel. "Did you ever find the lowest level of this accursed place, Talgamar? Did you find the mirrors? Or was it all simply so that you could convince that traitorous fool Ilseth to pass along the portal box?"
He shook his head in mock pity.
"Often I think of that. You could have ordered him to point Hrethgar elsewhere, to call off the attack on Caladel. And yet you instructed him to proceed. The deaths of all those children, Talgamar, on your head. Their blood on your hands."
Caden let them talk, reaching through Khan to examine the room.
"Nothing to say, Talgamar,"
mocked Sicariel, the Chateth's voice grinding against the air. It cocked its head to the side, face splitting into a grisly smile.
"Or have you realized? Because even if you have, it is far too late."
Caden barely heard, his heart suddenly pounding as he understood what was going on. A massive cloud of Khan surrounded the two Chateth, strands of the dark energy twisting and intertwining faster and faster as the whining sound pressed louder on his ears. Caden forced his vision past the cloud, trying to examine the source of the Khan. The Chateth weren't triggering it, weren't controlling it at all, impossible for them anyway, given where they were. But it was coming from them. From their bodies. His stomach lurched. It was draining him, targeting his reserve, but not the essence in the rest of his body, as smoothly and rapidly as he'd ever seen any Khan device destroy energy. It must have started happening the instant he'd walked into the room, and he hadn't even felt it. The cloud suddenly tensed, hardening and contracting. Then it exploded outward. Wriggling soft tendrils of Khan flew through the air, randomly until they abruptly all changed direction as if sucked by a giant funnel. In moments they were arrowing at, and then snaking into, the lines of essence that lit the room. Caden cried out, moving desperately to grasp Khan himself as clots of darkness began pulsing along those lines, away from him, vanishing beyond the walls, to where the heart of the Toll's machinery lay. It was already too late. He turned back to the Chateth just in time for a massive blast of energy from another vessel hidden within their bodies, he thought dimly, to crash through the room, throwing him bodily against the far wall, almost knocking him out. He groaned as he tried to recover from the unexpected impact. He looked up through a haze of blood to see a hole forming in the air. A gate. He hauled himself to his feet, swaying unsteadily. His reserve was so low. He needed to heal, but it would leave him completely drained, unable to stop what the Chateth were doing. A blade hewed into Dionydius, and the gate winked out. The smile on Sicariel's face faltered as Echelle's furious, desperate scream reached Caden's ears, and the young woman drew back and swung again, essence blazing from her arms as she gripped her broadsword with both hands. Sicariel opened his mouth to shriek as the blade cut through the Chateth's stomach, severing its spine and cleaving it completely in two, its torso remaining hanging in grisly fashion from the manacles, even as its lower half slid to the floor in a geyser of black blood. The furious concloud vanished too, and the only sound was Caden and Deschelles' shocked panting.
"Please don't kill me,"
gasped Deschelles, the black-soaked blade dropping from her trembling fingers. Caden stared at her wide-eyed. Those body-sundering strikes had to have taken an enormous amount of strength, but the concloud should have drained her of any extra essence. How had she managed it? He shook his head dazedly. It didn't matter. She'd needed to. Khan couldn't have halted those vessels once they had been activated. Dismantling them had been the only way to stop them. Caden levered himself up, letting essence flow into his aching muscles. With the concloud gone, his reserve would refill now, but he was still weak.
"Vessels. They were vessels. Made to attack the Toll's defenses," he said softly, horror flowing through his veins as he assessed what had just happened. "No way to do that except from the inside, close to the machinery itself, to the flow of essence from the Serrarium.
The Venerate must have been concerned about Andara's ability to stop the Desrealites, or perhaps they had planted the Chateth here early on as a failsafe, and had simply decided that now was a good time to make use of them. They'd known that the Toll was one of the few secure buildings in Andara, one that even they would have enormous trouble breaching if necessary.
"Did we stop it?" asked Deschelles.
"No." Caden's mind raced as shock and fear warred for control. "You shut the gate before they got anyone else inside, but the damage to the Toll is done. We have, I don't know, minutes? Maybe a half hour."
He gritted his teeth.
"I should have seen this coming. I've seen it before. Ilrith had gate mechanisms built into his body. Davian would be able to do it, too."
He rubbed his face.
"These ones must have had a trigger that the Venerate could activate from elsewhere."
He tried to stand, but his body hadn't fully recovered from the impact against the wall, and he stumbled, falling back to his knees.
"We need to get Aaron and the others, then," said Deschelles,
not moving to assist him, her expression still cautious.
"They're gone, or going, anyway. Through a gate," said Caden. "And even if they could come back, I hope that they are smart enough not to. This is all to stop Weir, Aaron, and everyone with them from doing exactly what they're doing. The Venerate only care about ensuring the success of Desriel's attack. This is a distraction."
He paused, feeling the travel stone Siner had given him in his pocket. It would let some of them escape, but the portal would shut too soon once the essence in the vessel ran out. Not enough time to get everyone through.
"There's no time to build another gate to get everyone out of here either. It's just us now. At least there's no way they could have anticipated that I would be here when this happened. I can make a difference," he finished, hoping, rather than confident, that it was true.
Deschelles seemed distracted, frowning into the distance before acknowledging Caden's statement.
"Then we should go to the entrance."
Caden staggered to his feet, successfully this time. He nodded tightly and started toward the door. Deschelles took one step to follow him and collapsed. Caden dashed over to her, confused. He hadn't seen her take any injuries. Deschelles looked up at Caden, pain in her expression, and he recoiled. The whites of her eyes had darkened, turned a murky, disturbing gray.
"Go," said Deschelles. "They need you up there."
Caden closed his eyes in frustration, understanding. Her connection to the Elatai. He made to go for the door. His feet wouldn't move. He pressed against the imaginary barrier briefly before turning back, dropping to his knees beside Deschelles.
"Not without helping you first."
"You have to."
"I'm bound not to do anything that would harm an augur."
He said the words through gritted teeth.
"And you are dying now that the defenses are down. We both know it, so shut up and let me save you."
Deschelles wavered, then used him to haul herself determinedly back to her feet and staggered toward the door, gesturing weakly for him to follow.
"Then you can help me on the way back," she said hazily.
Caden shook his head and pressed her gently down into a seated position again.
"It's a good thought," he admitted,
but this is delicate work. It will go quicker if you're holding still and I'm not trying to walk at the same time.
You'd think after a few thousand years or so you'd be able to multitask,
grumbled Ishell, but she slumped back to the floor without further argument. She was silent for a long moment, then shivered.
I can already feel them, she whispered.
She sounded terrified, as if the act of speaking might draw the attention of the Elatai in her head.
They haven't noticed me yet, but the barrier that was keeping them out is gone.
Let me know if anything changes, said Caden calmly. He glanced back at the door. I will do everything I can for you, understand? Ishell nodded, eyes wide. Caden could see a tear trickling down her cheek, though she quickly brushed it away.
They talk about you all the time.
Her voice was little more than a whisper. Caden leaned forward, looking at her queryingly. Ishell ignored him, her eyes roving as if suddenly unable to focus on him.
They say you are a monster, she said eventually. They showed me things. The things you've done. The things you've said.
She refocused on him.
They say you aim to kill all of us. All of the augurs.
Caden hesitated. Yes, he said. To stop the evil that lies beyond the boundary, we have to close the rift. To close the rift, every person able to draw Khan through it must die. Myself included. He held up a hand. But I've also been bound not to kill any augurs. Right now, I just want to help you.
Do you think that's even possible?
She squinted at him hazily.
No lies, please. I'm not in the mood.
Caden said nothing for a second. Extended connection to the Hive has always killed, he finally admitted. Some people hold on for years of exposure, others only days. I don't know whether it's down to mental strength, the severity of the infection, or something else entirely. But inevitably, they just fade. Our belief was that their minds joined the Hive somehow, without their physical bodies changing. He gave her an apologetic look. Of all the Banes, the Elatai are the ones we've always comprehended the least. When I left Talangol, the Venerate still had people studying them, observing them, trying to understand them more.
Why?
Caden shrugged. To better control them? They do our bidding for the most part, and do not attack if we tell them not to, but they are far less reliable than the other Banes. The most independent of them, I think. The strongest willed. The information came to him almost as he spoke, dredged from some back corner of his mind, as so much had been recently.
Siner already tried to help me, said Ishell, a touch uneasily. It did not go well.
Caden grimaced. From what I heard, he used you to get information about the attack. Whether he actually tried to help you was another question entirely. He held her gaze. Even if he did make a genuine attempt to weaken the connection, I don't believe that he has the knowledge or ability to do so. I might. Ishell exhaled heavily.
You are asking for a lot of trust, for a man who wants me dead.
A flicker in the lines of essence above caught Caden's eye. Strange times, he agreed bleakly. If you can give it, then I can start right now. But I will need to read you. Ishell wavered, then indicated her agreement.
I've been keeping everything personal in a lockbox anyway.
Good. One of the prevailing theories is that absorption into the Hive is dependent on personal memories, as those seem to survive the integration process best. Your lockbox may well be helping.
I'll try to keep that in mind, said Ishell with a weak grin.
Caden gave a gentle snort of amusement and then walked forward, at Ishell's nod, placing two fingers against her forehead. He pushed through Khan into Ishell's mind. Ill, he whispered, recoiling immediately, barely holding the connection. He'd seen inside plenty of people's minds, people with mental illnesses, people with little but darkness inside them. But this, they were just waves of voices. Thoughts crashing in a dizzying maelstrom around him, images and memories swirling in crazed, unpredictable ways everywhere he looked. It was as if he were in the midst of a hurricane, and only the eye of the storm, in this case Ishell's lockbox, stood still, protected by what looked like a disruption shield. Everything else was ablaze with dizzying color and light and motion, making him nauseous. He kept to the edge of her mind, small and quiet, doing his best to avoid notice, making adjustments here and there, adding tiny pieces of hardened con to deflect or mute signals, slowly but surely dampening the effect that the connection would be having on Ishell. It was a slow process, though, too slow. The time it would take to fully seal her off was time that he didn't have. He could see it now, the link, thin and odd-looking though it was, connecting Ishell's mind to the Elatai Hive, letting these things in uninhibited. No wonder Siner hadn't been able to spot it. He could restrict it easily enough now that he knew what to look for, he thought, maybe even sever it if there was a way to get around that hard con layer. He froze, lifting his vision back to Ishell's mind. Everything had stopped. The maelstrom had frozen in place, and yet it was intense, watching him. He acted on instinct, jamming hardened con around the breach just as everything began screaming toward him. It all happened in moments. Suddenly, it was as though his mind were being hit by a falling mountain, less pushed and more smashed backward, painfully forced away from the connection. He groaned, dizzy, as the chamber gradually came back into focus.
"Are you all right?"
murmured Ishell, seeing his expression. Caden assessed and then nodded, exhaling. "That was..." He gazed at the young woman, trying not to show his concern. How did she manage it? Her mind was all but wreckage, and yet she stared back, determined. Scared, but fighting. "They realized that I was there. Broke the connection between us. I restricted the flow between you and the hive, but..." He held up a hand. "May I try again?" Ishell dipped her head, and Caden placed two fingers against her forehead again, closing his eyes. Nothing happened. It was as if a wall of hardened con sat in his path now, complete, impenetrable. Ishell's mind, somehow, was completely sealed off. He shook his head, dazed. "I can't get back in."
"They are wary now," said Ishell, sounding absent. I think they've only just realized that others could access my mind, too. They considered it a breach into the hive itself, and they've shored it up."
Caden nodded slowly. They'd never been able to read Elatai. The creature's natural construction seemed to block any con connection to their minds. This was a little different, but just as effective. "How do you feel?" he asked pensively.
"Better."
Ishell, to his relief, sounded sharper, more aware.
"Can we go now?"
"Let's," said Caden, relieved not to feel any compulsion to do otherwise. He had helped Ishell as well as he could, for now. The young woman scrambled to her feet and they began moving. Ishell walked to the side and a step behind. He knew without looking that she was still staring at him, every muscle tense.
"Tell me about the hive,"
she said abruptly, tentatively. Caden glanced at the young woman as they moved swiftly through the toll's deserted corridors.
"It's what we call their collective consciousness, I suppose," he explained gently. He chewed his lip. "I've been told about the attack that you survived. That's rare, but I have heard of it happening before. The mental connection occurs, but the physical changes are prevented."
He rubbed his chin. "Not with an auger, though.
That is, interesting."
"Interesting?"
repeated Ishell, arching an eyebrow at him. Caden flushed slightly.
"Sorry."
For just a moment he had forgotten that she was a person, had been looking at her from an almost academic standpoint. Was that something the old him would have done? He gritted his teeth. He had to be wary of attitude changes like this, to be aware of when he started thinking about people without thinking of them. It had happened a few times over this past year as his memories had returned, and every time he realized what he was doing, it made him deeply uncomfortable. He clung to that feeling.
I suppose that there are worse things to be, sighed Ishell, finally relaxing slightly, thankfully appearing to take no offense.
She had deep, dark circles beneath her eyes, but she seemed calm. That was good. She held out a hand as they walked.
Let's start again. Ishell.
Caden clasped it warmly. Caden. It's good to meet you, Ishell. Another fading flicker ran along the lines of essence illuminating the hallway, and Ishell chuckled dryly.
If not under the best circumstances. I am sorry for that introduction. I should know not to trust what they show me.
Don't be. I don't believe that the Hive is especially manipulative, said Caden grimly. There was no point in trying to hide anything anymore. I have done many, many things in my past of which I am deeply ashamed. But I am here to help now. There was silence for a while.
Was it true, what the Chateth said? That you let Davian's school get attacked?
Ishell asked quietly. Caden winced. That day had been at the forefront of his mind as he'd made his way here. His meeting with Ilseth was hard to forget, even alongside his true purpose at the toll that day. It had seemed so logical at the time. He'd already known that the school at Kaladel would be destroyed. Davian himself had told him in Dylanus all those years ago. And he'd also known, of course, that Davian and Weir would both escape. Even if he had called off the attack entirely, it would have happened at some point regardless, but more importantly, would have let the Venerate know that there was something important to him there. Allowing the attack to go ahead had by far been the most sensible option. Would he make the same decision again, though? He wasn't so sure. Yes, he said, not attempting to mask the sorrow in his tone. Ishell watched him, then just nodded. She'd probably been shown worse by the Elatai anyway, Caden realized morosely.
And have you really been to the lowest level?
She eventually pressed, curiosity threaded through her voice now. Caden considered not answering. I have, he said after a few more steps. 24 levels beneath this one. The journey there is... He trailed off, shaking his head. I do not recommend it.
Noted, said Ishell. And did you find the mirrors?
Caden gave her a mild glare to indicate what he thought of the flow of questions, but Ishell just stared brazenly back. He sighed. I did. He paused, hopefully, but Ishell's expression indicated that she was going to keep pressing. The Shellis, a people I once knew, called them the Mirrors of Truth. My friend once told me that they were the Builder's greatest creation, and also what destroyed them. He walked without talking for a few seconds, mind wandering. He hadn't discussed this, hadn't even thought about this in a long time. Their vessels, he finally continued, a grand white hallway of hundreds of the things lining it. You have to look into each one before moving on, but at the end, you are allowed to remember only one of them. One truth that they show you, personal to you. Your life. And once through, you can never go back. Ever, he finished softly. He still remembered the cathedral-like archways flooded with what looked exactly like sunlight, though there was no way it could have been that far underground. The enormous mirrors flanking him for what felt like miles and years. He remembered passing them, but whenever he focused, all he could see in them was his own reflection. In all but the second to last one.
Still, that sounds like it might be useful, observed Ishell.
I thought the same. I thought that I could finally be sure that there of all places I would be able to find the certainty I had been looking for. He laughed hollowly. And I did, in a roundabout way, just not in the manner I was hoping. Ishell hesitated. "So what truth did they reveal to you?" she asked, quietly this time. "What did you choose to remember?" Caden glanced across at her, smiling sadly as voices began filtering down to them from up ahead.
"Perhaps another time," he said gently.
They finally reached the main tunnel, throngs of concerned gifted milling everywhere between the clusters of sapped-looking refugees. They hadn't been among the crowd for more than a couple of minutes when someone recognized them.
"You!"
Caden tensed as a figure raced toward them, waving frantically. He recognized him after a moment, though he didn't relax. Elder Ilanar, head of Tol Athian.
"The toll is no longer getting essence," said the elder abruptly as he came to a stop in front of Caden.
His tone indicated that while he wasn't necessarily pleased to see Caden, he would be more than willing to accept his help.
"I know," said Caden.
The elder gestured, the crowd parting more readily for him than it had for Caden and Ishell. They jogged toward the entrance as fast as they could.
"She should stay back," said Elder Ilanar suddenly, nodding to Ishell.
Caden shook his head.
"We may need her.
I've restricted her connection to the Elatai."
"But not severed?" Nashral shook his head. "We cannot take the chance."
Caden was about to argue further when the essence lines on the wall flickered again, violently this time.
"We still have time," murmured Nashrel, the pleading prayer in his tone evident.
As if to mock his words, the tunnel plunged into blackness. Sharp fear cut through the air as voices started chattering all at once. Caden quickly supplied a ball of light which illuminated faces twisted in sudden terror.
"What do we do?"
Nashrel and Ishell were both looking at Caden now. In the tunnel behind them, the voices of the refugees were getting increasingly loud and frantic. A booming, resounding clang echoed from the entrance, making everyone flinch. Another followed, and then another, and then another.
"The resolute door," murmured Nashrel, his eyes wide.
The entrance was already lit again by essence, this time generated by a group of perhaps 20 gifted, who were watching with panicked expressions as the thick iron in front of them was slowly, impossibly bent inward, a little more with each blow. They flinched at every thundering strike from outside. Caden drew a deep breath.
"Go," he said, addressing Ishell as well as Nashrel. "Take everyone you can and get to the sanctuary. The Serariel, the conduit, won't drain you now."
He hesitated.
"Stay in there. Don't try the catacombs unless you have no choice. Ishell will be able to find her way, but if she succumbed to the Elatai halfway through..."
Nashrel opened his mouth to protest, but something in Caden's expression must have convinced him because he snapped it shut again. He hurried over to the group by the door, giving them swift instructions. Ishell looked at him.
"Are you sure? I thought..."
"I have an idea, but anyone else here will just get in the way."
Caden didn't have time to be tactful.
"And if I fail, I don't want everyone else dying because I made a mistake."
He vacillated, then dug into his pocket and pressed the white travel stone into her hand.
"This will take you to Aaron and the others. If what I'm about to try doesn't work, get as many people through as you can before the essence in it runs out. And even if it does work, they could still use your help against Desriel. I doubt any more gifted will be willing to go through, but there's not much point in your staying here now."
Ishell frowned as she accepted the vessel. She looked as if she wanted to ask questions, but instead just touched him encouragingly on the shoulder before hurrying away back down the tunnel after the rest of the retreating gifted. Eventually, Caden stood alone in the 50-foot-high main tunnel of Tol Athian, lit only by the small globe of essence in front of him, the crashes of the door being bashed down, echoing away behind him into the darkness. He'd been here before, against the blind. He could do this. He didn't have Lycanius this time, but he had something better. His memories. He extended his senses, using Khan to crack open the dormant line that would normally have lit the tunnel and seeking back along it, probing deeper and deeper into Tol Athian's machinery. Down the Serariel, deep into its bowels. He hit the Serarium. He almost lost focus at the size of the thing. Even remembering the size of the Serarium they'd built to power the Ilshara, this one seemed especially large. It wasn't full. Caden wondered if it would even be possible to fill such a vessel, but there was still almost more essence here than he could comprehend. Just like the one he'd made in the Monoth Mountains, the Serrarium was all but impregnable, which was why Gassandrid had targeted the machinery drawing essence up into the toll. Usually that would have been impregnable too, but the attack had come from deep within, behind almost all the protections. It was the smallest gap in the defenses, one added by design so that corrections and alterations could potentially be made to the toll. Gassandrid had exploited it perfectly. He wiped a bead of sweat from his brow. He couldn't simply tap the essence with Khan here. A Serrarium was always built with specific purposes in mind, and it allowed essence to be withdrawn from it only in a certain way. Even for Caden, with thousands of years of experience behind him, it was difficult. He sucked the essence along the line, breathing out as it finally reached the tunnel, and he saw the golden light creeping along, gradually illuminating the depths of Tol Athian once again. Another boom sounded behind him, followed by a screeching of torn metal. The light finally reached him, and he carefully sliced through the retaining con, letting the raw essence spill out and be drawn into him. Another boom, this one ominously followed by a cracking sound. Screeches and shrieks and the low buzzing thrum of the elatai were audible now through the cracks in the door. He gritted his teeth, drew more essence, as much as he could, and then kept drawing, carefully connecting the line he had created to his own reserve. It was loose, temporary, with decay already affecting the energy. But he thought it would be enough. The doorway was halfway off its hinges now, and a black, dripping spear poked through, straining against the iron. Then another. Caden assessed the door. One more hit, and it was about to collapse anyway. He threw essence at it. The resolute door ripped off its last hinges and exploded outward, 2 20-foot-high walls of metal careening away faster than the eye could follow, smashing into the elatai gathered beyond in a shrieking shower of viscera and flying limbs. The monsters not hit by the doors hovered as if in shock. There was an odd second of everything perfectly motionless, Caden alone in the entrance to the mountainside against the roiling black cloud that confronted him. Then the cloud descended, and Caden unleashed the essence that he'd been drawing from the Serrarium. He twisted it with Khan as it left him, forcing it hotter and hotter until the flames were a pale ethereal blue, and he could see the stone on either side of the entrance beginning to turn red and melt away. Grimly, he stalked forward, placing himself in the very entrance, and began to expand the range of his blaze. Elatai were hurling themselves against him. Just as with Tol Athian's entrance, they knew that their bodies would absorb the essence, gradually drain it, make it more and more difficult for Caden to use. But he wasn't going to let it go. Slowly the creatures began to thin out, and Caden pushed even farther. Red-hot fire scorched the air for 50 feet in a semicircle away from the toll's entrance, then 100, then 200. Finally, the last of the furious shrieks were gone. The sound of buzzing had vanished. Only silence remained. Caden trembled at the effort of sustaining what he was doing, but he still didn't let the power go. There would be no one left alive in the city, but the elatai had wreaked havoc among its citizens. If he didn't do this, and do it now, then they would have thousands more of the creatures to contend with by this time tomorrow. Swallowing, he drew more from the Serrarium. More. Pooled it outside himself when his body could take no more. Unleashed it. Ilin Ilan exploded. Waves of rippling, rolling fire raced along its streets, consuming everything in its path. First the upper district vanished beneath the burning blue and white, then the middle, and finally the lower district and the docks. Buildings caught fire and collapsed. Those carved of the pure white stone began to glow an unsettling red, and then reluctantly melted into the ground. Finally, gasping and dizzy, Caden released the flow of essence. He stood there, panting for several seconds, lit by fire. Then he turned back to the entrance to the toll, still trembling. His work here was done. There was no point in staying, navigating the petty politics of the council, having to explain himself at every turn. It was time to see if Asher was still alive. But there was someone else he needed to fetch first. Chapter 33 Asher watched Diara's sleeping form from the other side of the room, arms crossed pensively. The beauty visible out the bedroom window was lost on her this morning. It had been almost an entire day since Garrodis had rendered Diara helpless now. The Veneret's inability to access essence or con at all was typified by her misshapen form under the covers, the stump of her severed arm sealed, but not healing any faster than a normal person's injury would. She had stirred briefly only a few times since their battle, as far as Asha had been able to tell. She was securely bound, uncomfortably so, but Asha didn't particularly care at this point. She had kept watch as often as she could, Garrodis briefly taking over when she needed to sleep. Asha had acceded that was necessary, even if she still didn't trust the Lith around Diara. Her options were few. Ellie had offered to stand guard, but Asha didn't want to take the chance if she could avoid it. She liked Ellie, but ultimately the woman was part of the Dokken. She couldn't help but feel a mild concern that Diara would be able to turn her, to control her somehow. She stared out the window for a while, so lost in thought that she almost didn't register when the form on the bed shifted. When she did, Asha flinched and went to her feet with alacrity, heart pounding as Diara gave a soft groan. The woman stirred further then, realizing that she was restrained, thrashed against her bonds before quickly calming again, struggling into a position in which she could raise her head and look around. She spotted Asha blinking. Her eyes cleared as she remembered. There was a long silence.
"So," Diara said, bitterness in her tone, "here we are."
She tried to shift again, pain flashing across her face. She waggled her stump of a shoulder at Asha.
"I assume that you think this was justified?"
"No,"
Asha responded evenly.
"But don't expect sympathy either. You came in here and tried to kill me."
"Because you are serving the side of evil."
Diara slumped back. Suddenly she looked tired, scared, and alone. Nothing like the demonic force who had invaded the Dokken. Her voice was reedy.
"Do you think I wanted to kill you, Ashalia? Or anyone? No matter what you have been told, I am not a monster. I was just doing what had to be done."
She swallowed, her injury clearly painful.
"So what now? Why am I still alive? Do you think that you can get information from me before you kill me? Or do you mistakenly believe that you can keep me here like this indefinitely?"
She grimaced.
"Garrodis will not abide that, I promise you."
Asha said nothing, still wondering at the wisdom of engaging Diara any further. She'd thought about it a lot over the past day, though, and it didn't seem particularly risky so long as she didn't let anything Diara said get to her. On the other hand, the chances of one of the Veneret letting slip important information seemed slim at best. It might well be better to simply ignore her, leave her bound in this bed, and wait for Caden to return. Diara's eyes suddenly narrowed.
"It's Chalcomar, isn't it?" she said quietly. "You have been communicating with him."
She paled as Asha continued to say nothing, the silence evidently confirmation enough.
"Ashalia, you must listen to me. He is not your friend. He is filling your head with one-sided arguments and half-truths, twisting your perspective so that you believe that he is on the side of right. But if you just listen, really listen, to what I have to say..."
Asha shook her head.
"You're trying to unleash the Darklands. With all respect to Tal, he is wrong about that. His is a theory based on speculation alone, mysticism and vague warnings from books whose origins are unknown, all while denying the word of the one who made this entire world. I am not talking of some distant authority figure looking down from on high, Ashalia," Diara continued earnestly, "but an actual being, someone with power beyond anything we could imagine. The only one capable of fighting this prison."
"You mean Shemeloth?" I mean El.
Diara's voice was filled with quiet confidence.
Tel'Kamar has far too great an opinion of himself and far too poor a one of us. Do you think that we would not know if we were dealing with Shemeloth? Do you think that we could deceive ourselves about such an important thing, the central tenet of our lives, for thousands of years?
She shook her head.
I understand that you tell yourself what you must, Ashalia, that your drive is to survive above all else, but that does not make you right.
So instead I should just listen to you and give up. Just die, said Asher with a snort. Diara sighed.
This version of you would end, Ashalia, but this version of you isn't you. All things are made up of a series of choices. If those choices are not our own, then who are we? Why fight to keep a version of yourself that is nothing more than a character in a play reciting lines written by someone else?
She shook her head.
Even if I am wrong, if we are working for Shemeloth and El is truly in charge, think back on the mistakes you've made, Ashalia. Think back on the worst decision you have ever made. Now, imagine that I revealed to you that I had manipulated you into it, not controlled you, but read you so thoroughly that I knew exactly how you would react to things, and then tailored everything to lead you into that choice, which, if I had that much power, is the equivalent of controlling you.
Diara locked eyes with Asha.
What would you do to get away from that? To try and free yourself and others from such terrible tyranny?
Asha remained silent. Diara was just trying to get inside her head. The woman knew that she had no other way out of her present situation. She pulled in a breath. She'd never been good at this sort of debate. Give her time to think it through, privately, perhaps put down her rebuttals on paper, and she could do so quite cogently. But in conversation, her mind simply didn't work that way. Not to mention that the Venerate no doubt had centuries of experience debating this exact issue. Still, Diara seemed happy to talk, and there was a chance, however slim, that the woman would let something slip. Asha settled back, trying to look relaxed.
Tell me about the Venerate, then, she said. If you truly believe that you've been working with El, I would be interested to hear about your history, the things you have done.
Diara paused, cocking her head to the side before giving a small, acknowledging smile.
Very well.
Diara began to speak, about small things mostly, from her past. She talked of the terrible things she had done, how they haunted her, but she lived with them in the knowledge that they were for a greater good. She talked of the good the Venerate had done, too. How they had saved people, saved nations. It was both the confession and the desperate grasping of a woman who knew her end was rapidly approaching, Asha realized after a while. Asha didn't need to talk much herself. Diara seemed content to wander in her stories, jumping from tales of history that Asha knew to accounts of things that had happened thousands of years ago. Despite her wariness, Asha found it all fascinating. Though Diara deftly steered clear of revealing strategic information, she otherwise seemed perfectly happy just to talk. Often her stories would revolve around El, or inevitability, her perspective on which, Asha had no doubt, the Venerate was trying to push. To her mild discomfort, she found it hard not to listen. It was hours later that the ground beneath Asha's feet shuddered slightly, and she tensed, suddenly afraid that another shift was about to start. But the tremor quickly subsided, and she breathed a sigh of relief. She glanced at Diara, who had cut off mid-sentence, clearly having felt it too. The look of fear in the other woman's eyes was unmistakable.
"He will tell you that I am a liar," said Diara quickly. "He will claim that I use truth to mask my lies, that I am manipulating you, that you must ignore everything I say."
She held Asha's gaze.
"And I would say the same about him. Make your own decisions as best you can, Ashalia. That is all I wish for you."
Asha frowned, not acknowledging the comment. Diara plainly knew what the tremor meant just as well as Asha did. Caden had returned.
"I know, I'm late,"
said Caden as he walked up the palace stairs, warm air ruffling his red hair as he gave Asha a wry nod. Asha glared at him, torn between relief and anger, the tension of the past few days finally releasing into a vaguely happy irritation.
"That's the best you can do?"
"I'm glad you're still alive." Caden held up both hands in half-amused defensiveness as Asha's glare deepened. "Sorry, I am sorry, truly," he said, sincerity in his tone this time. He rubbed the back of his neck as he came to stand in front of Asha, looking embarrassed. "Believe it or not, there was a good reason."
"I assumed," said Asha dryly.
Caden gave a chuckle. "I just spoke to Garrodus. He gave me the very briefest of explanations before demanding that I set him free of the Dokken again." A note of admiration crept into his tone. "That was smart, bringing him back like that. Quick thinking. But I'd be interested to hear..."
"Diara's secure." "You first," interrupted Asha.
Caden hesitated, then gave a rueful, apologetic nod. It took only a few minutes for him to clinically run through what had happened since he'd left. His discovery of the Venerate's plan, his return to Elin-Ilan, the attack, and the destruction of the Toll's defenses. Asha listened mutely as he recounted the scouring of the city in fire. She had spent an entire year there, knew the city as well as anywhere. Even after the blind, the thought of the entire place being gone was just incomprehensible.
"That's a fairly good reason to be late," she said eventually, motioning for Caden to follow her inside. "You're sure that Weir and the others got away?"
"As sure as I can be. I'm hoping we can join up with him again once we're both out of here." Asha balked.
"But Davian..."
"I know when he gets out," said Caden suddenly, not looking at her. "We have time." Asha looked at him in bewilderment.
"What?"
"Davian," Caden shifted. "He'll escape from his prison in about a week. There's little point in going to Talon Gol before that, because we won't be able to get to him where he is right now." Asha stared at him, anger swirling in her chest.
"How do you know?"
She shook her head disbelievingly.
"And why are you just telling me this now?"
Caden exhaled heavily. "I'm sorry. I didn't want to mention it in case the Lith took too long to get us the vessel. It would only have distracted you," he said quietly. "The prison he is in is a place called Zvelar. Everyone who goes there is sent to the past. I was there with him for a time, many years ago. It's complicated," he assured her, seeing her expression. "I'll tell you more about it if we have time. The point being, he is all right. He and Lycanius will just have to wait a little longer." Asha felt her brow furrow, but Caden spoke again before she could say anything, seeing the struggle on her face. "Even if you choose not to believe me," he said softly, "we cannot save him at the expense of the world, Ishalia. If the boundary falls, then Shemaleth will drive the Banes in front of him, carving a path of death and destruction to Dylanus in a day, without anyone or anything to oppose him. Maybe two. Weir is very capable, but he has only a small force, and the Gilshara are equipped in ways that they never have been before. He can delay them, but he has no chance of beating them alone." Asha swallowed bitter disappointment and frustration, accepting the statement.
"So now we need to find someone to replace me in the tributary," she said bleakly.
Caden rolled his shoulders.
"I have someone here ready to go."
Asha stuttered mid-step, not sure she had heard correctly.
"Who?"
"Ilseth Tenvar."
"Tenvar?"
Asha repeated, confusion her primary emotion.
"Isn't he dead?"
She knew that Davian had badly damaged the traitorous elder's mind when he had read him, not long before the blind had attacked. But she had been given the impression by the council, when she had thought to inquire months after, that he had not survived that encounter.
"By all the important measures, yes," Caden made a face. "I know it sounds ghoulish,
but he is in many ways the best choice. When Davian broke into his lockbox, he completely destroyed Tenbar's mind. The man eats and breathes, but there is nothing in his head anymore that is truly him. He is, to all intents and purposes, a shell. But that still suffices for what we want to do.
Asher recoiled. So we're essentially using his corpse.
Would you prefer that we get someone to suffer through the shifts instead? Asked Caden pointedly.
But what if he wakes up, remembers who he is? Protested Asher. What if he figures out how to exit the Dokken, release himself from the tributary? The boundary would fail, and he'd have access to my reserve.
She shivered at the thought. It had taken some getting accustomed to, but she did think of it as hers now, not some amalgamation of other people's essence. It operated as easily and smoothly as if it were all her own, too. The thought of sharing that with someone like Ilseth made her skin crawl. I've read him, Ashalia. No part of his mind has survived. There is no chance of him recovering. It's perfectly safe. He sighed as he saw her still uncertain expression. It's not pleasant, but none of this is. The toll was likely going to be evacuated. He would have had to be left behind anyway, which was a death sentence, as no one would have been there to care for him. Asha scowled at him.
Don't try to frame this as a kindness, she said irritably. I see your point and I'll do it, but let's not pretend it's noble at least.
Caden held up his hands in surrender. Very well. He watched Asha as they walked. Now, your turn. Asha explained how Diara had been captured and suppressed. Caden listened silently until she was done. I'm impressed, he conceded, especially that you managed to stop Gerardus from killing her. That gives us a chance. Asha glanced at him.
To do what, exactly?
To leave her in here when we go, said Caden, though he looked unhappy at the thought. I'll disconnect the Dokken from the tributary, maintain its integrity myself. She won't die until I let it collapse. That should give us more than a week before the earliest that Gerardus said she might break free. Almost two.
Won't someone notice that she's still in here, though? Wherever she actually is?
I doubt it. Diara isn't really the trusting type. Cassandra would know what she's about, but she would have set up private rooms to do this. She wouldn't be able to stand the thought of someone, even Cassandra, being in the same place as her while she was so helpless. Caden scratched his chin. It's possible that she set up a failsafe, some instruction to kill her should she not come out within a certain amount of time. But I doubt that, too. After killing you, I'm sure she was intending to poke around in here for a while, see if she couldn't find some new piece of information about me. He shrugged. A week or two in isolation isn't unusual for any of the Venerate. We've spent enough time around each other that we don't really feel the need to keep each other's company constantly, he added sardonically. Asha coughed.
What happens if they do realize, though?
They kill her, said Caden simply. She will come back somewhere else, and our job gets that much harder. But for now, everything will look normal. If we can act fast enough, we can get to Ilshan Gath-Del-Teth, get Lycanius back, find her while she's defenseless, and kill her before Cassandra even suspects something is wrong. Asha blanched, and Caden frowned at her. It's awful, he agreed seriously, but this is the reality of our situation. Don't forget that she came in here expressly to kill you, Asha. She chose this path. Asha paused at that, and Caden sighed as he spotted her hesitation. You spoke to her, didn't you?
What was I supposed to do?
Keep her locked up and not go near her until I returned. Caden held up his hand as she made to protest. I know. You didn't know whether I even would return, let alone when. You're not to blame. He held her gaze. But Ashalia, whatever she said, whatever she told you, you must ignore it. She was always the one good at talking, and she is very, very smart. She probably told you 100 truths for every 1 lie, but those lies... He shook his head. Forget whatever she said, and steel yourself for what must be done, he concluded. Caden pushed open the door before she could respond, and they entered. Diara looked up, the last sparks of hope leaving her eyes as she saw Caden. The two venerate watched each other for a few seconds, silent.
I am sorry about your arm, said Caden quietly, nodding toward Diara's stump.
Diara gave a dry, sad chuckle.
If you're really sorry, you could always heal it.
Asha said nothing, though she did keep an eye on Caden to make sure he wasn't thinking of trying. Gerardus had told her that using any essence on Diara could disrupt the ward in her mind, either killing her or setting her free. She didn't need to worry, though. Caden smiled tiredly back, apparently taking it as a jest rather than a serious request.
It's been a while, Dee, he said,
walking over and perching on the side of her bed, giving a friendly touch to her good shoulder in greeting. Diara smiled up at him.
Too long.
Asha watched, stunned at the exchange, even if each word was burdened with underlying tension. It wasn't just acting. The two seemed to have a genuine affection for each other. Tal glanced over at Asha, who understood the signal, stepping a short distance away to give them some privacy. Tal bent, lowering his voice so that only Diara could hear. It mostly seemed to be Caden talking over the next couple of minutes, only occasionally stopping so that Diara could reply. They both laughed once, saddened.